This evening, I want to begin, but will probably not finish, a kind of an interesting subject on the Holy Spirit. I was doing some reading this week, and there was a verse of Scripture in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, that just kind of jumped out at me. And it's one of those things where I've seen it many times, I've studied it before, but it just kind of had a freshness to it. And as I was looking at that, I thought, you know, maybe I need to go back a little bit in the Gospel of John. And so I did. I went from chapter 20 back to chapter 14, where Jesus talked about the role or the coming of the Holy Spirit. When he was going to be sending him. You know that in the Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit didn't indwell people, but came upon them and empowered them for works of ministry, works of service, for leadership, for guidance, that kind of thing. But he didn't indwell them. And it wasn't until after the resurrection, when Jesus declared that the Holy Spirit would be coming. Well, it was before the crucifixion that he declared the Holy Spirit was going to come and that he was actually going to indwell them. But the interesting thing that kind of struck me was in one of his post-resurrection appearances. It's with the disciples, and they're gathered together in that 20th chapter. And I want to read a passage to you, and then we're going to go back a little bit into John 14, and then we're going to jump ahead to Acts chapter 1. So I know it's a bit of jumping around, but I want you to notice this. The Gospel of John chapter 20, we're going to begin reading at verse 19. This is one of the post-resurrection appearances of Christ to the disciples, but it's that time when Thomas isn't there. Thomas the doubter. Okay? And beginning at verse 19, when therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, this is the evening of the resurrection, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord. At first, this is another one of those typical circumstances, they didn't recognize who he was. But as he shows the evidences of the nail prints in his hands, then they make that recognition, and they rejoice in that. And now continuing on here, Jesus therefore said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Here's a commissioning that he's giving to these disciples. The Father sent me here on a mission. Therefore, I am sending you on a mission. Now look at what he says here and what the Scriptures say. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Isn't that an interesting statement? He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then he commissions them in a greater fashion when it comes to priesthood, if I can use that word. It's not, by the way, it's not a bad word. All right? We just have the tendency to think it is with the scandals that have gone on in recent years. But as far as being a representation of Christ in that fashion, it's not a bad thing. Now, look at what he says in verse 23. He says, if you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. That's an interesting statement. Because he is laying out for them a part of their priestly role and what that role is going to be. Now, my focus tonight isn't necessarily on the priestly role of the apostles and the disciples in this case. But instead, it is on that phrase where Jesus breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. He is preparing them for what's going to happen in about 40 days. Now, he has already talked about the fact that he was going to go back to heaven. He has already talked about that. And that's where we want to jump back a little bit. Look with me at the Gospel of John, chapter 14. In this particular chapter, Jesus begins by comforting his disciples. He's told them, look, guys, there's going to be some things take place. Peter, what's going to happen with you before the rooster crows? If you look up at the last verse of the previous chapter, Jesus says, look, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And as he is going along with that, he then gives these words of comfort and these words of encouragement in the very beginning of the 14th chapter, but he is setting them up for the fact that, look, don't let your sorrow over the events that are going to happen be overwhelming. And he makes this amazing promise about the coming of the Comforter, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's keep that stuff in mind as we look at this. Remember, this is the night that Jesus was betrayed, that he is giving these words of comfort. Beginning at verse 1 in chapter 14, and we're going to read our way through verse 21. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. And now look at what Philip says. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. Prove your dad's existence, and hey, it's okay. Now, look at what Jesus says. And Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? By the way, it doesn't have anything to do with the name. Okay? Just kind of want to let you know about that. All right. Okay. Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. What you have seen, man, at least believe on that. I mean, what have these guys experienced? The dead coming back to life, the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, those who were lepers are healed. There's all of these amazing, amazing things going on. Jesus said, at least believe for that. All right? He says, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, that's an interesting phrase. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know what Jesus is assuming here? That when you ask something in his name, you are asking in his will. And I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, has nothing to do with pink Cadillacs. All right? Has nothing to do with huge mansions on this earth. But he's telling them that, look, whatever you ask in my name, you know, I cannot possibly imagine what takes place in the mind of an individual that says, in the name of Jesus, I want a BMW. I'm sorry. That doesn't fit. But Jesus is declaring that there are going to be great signs, and there are going to be great, wonderful, amazing miracles that are going to take place through these guys. But they have to be within God's will. And so he's telling them, he's putting the qualifier on there, ask anything in my name. All right? If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and now here it comes, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not but behold him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. He abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Isn't that interesting? I and my Father are one. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send another. And he shall be in you. I will be there. In other words, not only is Jesus one with the Father, Jesus is one with the Spirit. And that becomes an important thing when we are establishing our position of belief and our position of faith. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me. because I live, you shall live also. In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. There's a great triangle. I am in the Father is in me, and I am in you. The work of the Trinity involved in our lives. He who has my commandments and disregards them, he it is who loves me. Is that what your Bible says? If it is, throw it out, it ain't no good. All right, that's not what it says. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Now, as Jesus is talking, he is talking about the fact that, look, I'm going back to heaven. It's where I came from. That's my abode. That's my residency. I'm going back. But I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send another, the Spirit of Truth. And he shall be with you and shall be in you. Now, I want you to jump over with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1. The book of Acts, chapter 1, just a couple of pages. We don't have much time. I'm going to try to cover this real quickly. Acts, chapter 1. Again, one of the appearances of Christ after the resurrection. To these, he also presented himself alive. Verse 3 through 8. To these, he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. And gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which, he said, you heard of from me. What's that? The Holy Spirit is going to be coming. I told you about this. The Holy Spirit is going to be coming. Verse 5. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so, when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? Still, went right over their heads. Right over their heads. Jesus did not come to establish an earthly kingdom. He came to establish the kingdom of God here on earth, but with the promise of all of heaven. He came to bring salvation from sin, not salvation from the Romans. That wasn't his role. That wasn't his purpose. All right? And so they still don't get it. And I'm sure Jesus is just going, Philip. Petey. You know, I'm sure he has just reached that point where he's just going, all right, I will throw this out again. Maybe you'll catch it. Verse 7. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. Don't believe this garbage about December 21st, 2012. or any other date that gets set because the Mayans had this figured out. Garbage. He says, look, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. Now here it comes. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Wait! Stay in Jerusalem. Wait. There's a miraculous thing going to take place here. I am coming to you in the person of the Holy Spirit to be with you, to indwell you, to empower you so that you can be effective as witnesses for me in this world and make a difference. You know, excuse me. Right after this is uttered, the heavens open. Jesus lifts his arms and he's carried up through the clouds to be in heaven until the Father turns to him. Says, go get him. When's that going to be? I don't know. I don't know. Today, I hope. Next month, maybe. Next year, as long as it ain't December 21st, I don't care. Actually, I don't care if it is December 21st. The truth is that until Jesus comes back, he has sent his Holy Spirit to indwell us, to make us understand who Jesus really is and what he wants from us. These disciples still didn't get it at this point. You know when they did get it? It's called the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes. Just like Jesus said, you go, tarry, wait till you're endued with power from on high. The day of Pentecost comes. They're in Jerusalem, tarrying, waiting. The sound of the rushing mighty wind. Tornadoes 101. Sounds like it's coming, but nothing's being destroyed. Fire. The purifying fire of God rests upon those who are so assembled, who have waited for that moment to happen. And they can't keep their mouths shut. They hit the streets, man. And they are declaring the awesome things of God. Do you know why? Do you have any idea why the day of Pentecost was significant for this to happen? Because it was a time of celebration when Jews from all over the world would be gathered together in Jerusalem for celebration time. So let's make it now. What's going to happen? Soon, the visit to Jerusalem is going to be over. These brand new believers are going to go back to their towns, their villages, their countries, and the Word of God is going to spread because Fox News couldn't fit them into the schedule. You see, God had this all prearranged so that there would be a great opportunity for an outpouring of Him on this world. In a very brief moment, there's 3,000 souls added to the kingdom. That's power. That is power. From cowards to conquerors. From silent saints to proclaimers of the good, grand, glorious power of God. Jesus breathed on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. He's preparing them to receive the Holy Spirit. I'm going away, but I'll send another. He shall be with you and shall be in you. He's coming to dwell. No more just coming upon for specific works of whatever, empowerment, residency within us, so that we can have power to live the commandments of Jesus. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, in that you obey whatsoever I have commanded you. How does that happen? I'm right in here. I'm right in here. You see, that's why we don't have to live beneath the commands of God. For God Himself indwells us. What an amazing gift. Let's stand.